Suspend your disbelief, your rational, analytic mind, just for a minute, just for the length of this podcast. What if all I am about to tell you is the truth? What if the information you will be provided is from a divine source? Just for this time, I am your Axis Mundi. Consider this podcast your channel, your second opinion. When I do a reading, something larger than myself is working through me. So ask what you wish. This is your channel, your doorway to the divine. Welcome to John's Tarot. Welcome to everybody who might be listening from wherever you might be throughout the world. Welcome to you from Frankfurt.
Achtung, ich rufe noch einmal Stalingrad.
Hier ist Stalingrad. Hier ist die Front von der Volga.
Welcome to you from Sarasota, Florida.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Welcome to you from Berlin.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo, but I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
Welcome to you from Inglewood, California.
You're going to get your mind right. And I mean right.
Welcome to you from Laguna Niguel, California. Welcome to you from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
And Port Richey, Florida.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
And Beloy, Quebec.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Well, welcome again to John's Tarot Podcast, the podcast where I do free readings and I do little stories. I've had a little insight this week that had to do with what I'm doing here. This is just a hobby and something I do for fun. And I probably have the most exciting backgrounds, the most exciting setups than anybody else on Twitch or on YouTube. As I got this set up now with my more powerful processor. It looks really nice. I hope you stick around and take a look. I also do free readings, so if you would like a free reading, I'm here to do free readings for you. Let me pop the, there we go. And, you know, I do tarot readings as well as I put Nordic runes on the readings. So welcome to you. And my little insight for the week was that tarot reading is like storytelling. So what I'm going to do today is do a little storytelling. I have a story here about something that caught my eye, caught my interest earlier in a week on Bob Lazar. And I know many of my younger viewers may not know who Bob Lazar is. I asked a younger nurse at work, a guy, he must be 28, 29, maybe 30. I go, you know who Bob Lazar is? And he had no idea who Bob Lazar is. So I'm going to do a little story today on Bob Lazar. Here we go. So I'm going to switch over to my UFO page. Welcome to John's Wild, Weird, Wonderful UFO Update. It's time that we
open the pod bay doors, please, Hal.
Yes, it's time we open the pod bay doors, please, Hal. And so just to repeat myself, today I'm going to bring you the Bob Lazar story. Bob is an interesting study. He was a whistleblower back in 88, 89. I got this story. You can get all these details that I got this story from very easily from a Joe Rogan interview about 4 years ago. If you look on YouTube, you look for the Joe Rogan interview 1315. And also there is a documentary done by Jeremy Corbell called Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. And I will see if I can leave a little link to it for this podcast. So let me move over to my little storytelling page. There we go. There's Bob. Bob Lazar claims he was hired in the late 1980s to reverse engineer extraterrestrial technology. Bob is a very controversial character. Bob claims to have gotten education at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He claims to have gone to Caltech, and neither one of these institutes acknowledges Bob ever attended any classes there or achieved any degree. At MIT, he claimed to get a master's in master's in how come I thought I had it written down in physics, and in Caltech, a master's in electronics. So after Bob got his master's degree in physics and electronics, he's obviously a bright young man. He sent out a lot of resumes, and he claims that he was eventually hired by Los Alamos. And at Los Alamos, he was, I forget what exactly his job was, but he was a young physicist there working. And Los Alamos also claims Bob Lazar never worked here. But if you look at the phone directory from Los Alamos from the years 1985, Bob Lazar's name definitely appears there. So it is all a very strange story. So Bob claims he's working at Los Alamos and working away, and he gains some notoriety as a, here we go, from the Los Alamos Monitor. LA man joins the jet set, and he built himself a jet-powered Honda car, and he gained some notoriety. Here's a picture of his Honda car. He's apparently going 200 miles an hour in his jet Honda car. Well, one day he's working there at Los Alamos, and he runs, and they're doing some interviews out front, and he happened to be out front. And they're interviewing this gentleman here, Edward Teller. Edward Teller is a very famous physicist, and he was involved with the development of the hydrogen bomb. And this guy is somebody from history, this Edward Teller, and his development of the hydrogen bomb. So Bob went and introduced himself to Ed Teller. Well, this opened up some doors for Bob. It was very shortly after he was introduced to Ed Teller and talked to Ed Teller that Teller must have put the word in for him. And Bob had got a phone call to work for the Defense Department. And let's see where. And a place Bob calls, he says he had the opportunity to work at S4. And this is where Bob's story really begins. S4 is in the Area 51 area. It's not at Area 51 itself. It's apparently in the mountains, according to Bob and according to the interviews. The S4 facility is set back in the mountains. It has doors set back in the mountains, and you cannot see it from the outside. You get to the S4 complex by their... Excuse me, you're flown in there out of, they use a private jet service out of the local airport there. And Bob claims they would fly him in there at all different hours, and they told him he had to be prepared to do, to do his physics out there. And they would call him in at 11 o'clock at night, and they'd say, be ready to take off out of McLaren. That's what it was, McLaren Airport. In 45 minutes, you'll be contacted. So he would show up at McLaren, and they would fly him out to the S4 facility. Well, at the S4 facility, Bob claims to have encountered UFOs. He claims he was aware of 9 UFOs that were being stored in the facility. They initially sat Bob down with a bunch of documents, a bunch of reports, and the reports were on UFOs and possible UFO sightings, possible what they had learned from the UFOs they had recovered. And Bob was reading this information, and he just didn't think it was real when initially he read it, because he didn't see UFOs right away over here at S4, but he was reading the documents. He figured they're going to test him on his documentation later. So he's reading all this stuff, and they claim to have collected these UFOs from Zeta Reticuli, a dual-starred galaxy, about 1,220 1,000 light years away from us. And Bob's going, yeah, right, right. Uh-huh, right. He figured they're going to test him on this stuff later. Well, eventually he was introduced to a science team, and apparently the teams are all kind of, oh, you have minimal information. There's no information shared among teams, which is a different, difficult way to do science. And he was introduced to a science team, and his job was to look at the power plants of these UFOs. And here's a little drawing of the things he was talking about. And his first experience with the UFOs there was the guy, they were able to turn on this power plant. There was a reactor. And he was told by his partner there to go ahead and touch the reactor, try to touch the reactor. So Bob reached forward and you try to touch the reactor and you cannot. He said it was like putting two magnets together, you know, with opposing poles that pushed themselves apart. And as hard as you tried, you cannot touch the tube. You cannot touch this thing. So it's putting out antimatter. And he did experiments on this antimatter generator for a couple of months. Well, what eventually happened, when you're under real strict control like this, you're being monitored by security forces. They have your phone bugged. They're monitoring your home life. You know, you're leaving at strange hours. You're told, you know, you will not discuss this even with your wife at home or your family. Anything you see out here will not be discussed. And Bob's saying, yeah, all right. And then all of a sudden, they quit calling him up to go out there. He'd been working out there for several months, 6-8 months. And then all of a sudden, they stopped calling him and asking him to go out there. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. Then he noticed he was being followed by, you know, like Men in Black type people, and that his phone was being tapped. And he got scared. He's like, what's going on? Well, what was finally revealed to Bob later, what was going on, was that his wife was having an affair on him. And the security forces were aware of that. And they were watching Bob to see if he would kind of slip, if he would freak out, if his behavior changed. They weren't telling him that his wife was cheating on him, but that's what was going on. And that's what made him a security risk. His home life is now unstable. And Bob started, and so he's being followed, his phone is being tapped, and some really obvious stuff is going on. And he was really afraid for his life. And this is back in 1988. This is how this all transpired. And he contacted, where we go? Here we go, George Norrie. George Norrie is a famous newscaster in the Las Vegas area. And he started revealing stuff to George Norrie. And George Knapp, not George Norrie, George Knapp. And he started revealing things to George Knapp. Because, like I said, Bob was afraid for his life. He was afraid that, they were going to, you know, he's going to be executed for revealing too much information. And finally, George Knapp talked Bob into going public with the information that he had. And that's how the story came out to be public. And because Bob figured that if he revealed it, or George Knapp convinced him that if you come out public, it's like an insurance policy. If you're known and you're a known entity by the news people and by the public, that they can't just zap you, and move you into non-existence. But what they can do, and apparently what Bob claims they did, is they made his existent. They made him a non-existent person. They erased his records at MIT. They erased his records at Caltech. They erased his records at Los Alamos, all to make him appear to be a non-entity. And that's what Bob claims happened. Bob's primary interest in all this is out to come out and say, and I encourage you to watch the interview with him, with Joe Rogan, and to watch that movie, the Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers by Jeremy Corbell. It's up on Amazon. And Bob's primary thing is that he believes to this day that what he saw was real, that he was inside the UFOs, he saw the reactors, that these things were small, They were designed for people who were about, 4 feet tall, and that he goes into a great detail if you're interested to follow up there. And that what's really important about this is that the reactor has to do with technology that does not exist yet on this planet. This technology is so advanced, it doesn't even exist on this planet. And furthermore, that we have made contact with extraterrestrial life forms, that we have proof in the form of 9 recovered alien spacecraft that extraterrestrial life does exist. This information has been withheld from the American public for all these years. And this Jeremy Corbell thing was done about, it was done about 4 years ago. The program that Jeremy Corbell did. And it was during the recording of this that the FBI, as part of this, they discovered, as part of his research, they discovered an element that was not on the periodic table. The element was element 115. And this was supposedly the element that powered the core of the reactor. And that Bob had somehow made away with a little piece of this element 115. So while he is recording this Jeremy Corbell documentary, the FBI raided him and are still looking for the lost element 115. And today, Bob exists today. He's still out there. He doesn't like to talk about the UFO story. That is really something that he feels kind of messed his life up. He didn't get anything from it. It didn't do him any good. In fact, it set him back in many ways, and he regrets ever having to reveal it. And it wasn't Bob's fault, the way things happened to him. I can understand how he feels. He was fearful for his life, fearful that the security detail of the United States government was going to end his life in his early 20s. And he has a lot of documentation. And when you look at it, when you look at the interviews of Bob Lazar, and you look at the documentary, and you look at the guy's face, man, he's not lying. I don't believe he's lying. I believe he's telling the truth. He's telling what he believes to be the truth. His story has remained consistent over the last, how many years? Since 1989. And it hasn't changed. Some of the details the details haven't changed. His memory has faded a little bit with age because he's probably like my age now. I'm 65. He's a year younger than me. He's 64. So, your memory fades a little bit about details. But the fact that there has been actual extraterrestrial contact between our U.S. government and other alien civilizations does exist. And the government does not want that discussed under any circumstances. Now, there is no proof. I go over this with my wife all the time. She does not believe it. I tend to believe it. I've used the tarot to ask questions about it, and the tarot's come back saying, yeah, they're there. And they've been with us for a long time, and I tend to believe that. So that is my little Bob Lazar story for this week. I will move over to my tarot page. Now tell me, is anybody else on the internet doing as much with content as I'm able to do here with OBS? Part of this that I've done, it's just been a hobby and learning the OBS thing, and it's been a lot of fun. Now the background I have here is from, I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to visit Delphi. And in Greece, Athens, Greece. Delphi is the home of the ancient Delphic Oracle. Around 300 BCE, the Common Era, anybody went to get an oracle from the Oracle at Delphi. And I had the opportunity to visit Delphi, and this picture in the background was taken at the Temple of Apollo, where the Delphic Oracle made her predictions over 2,000 years ago, and I took a deck of cards with me, and I asked the oracle to bless the cards and to bless me as we move forward, and I don't know if it really happened or not, but it was a big thrill for me, and that is what the background of this picture is. If you're just listening to the podcast, You'll have to take a look at the YouTube page. Take a look at my, you can see it on my page, johnstarot.net. You can see the background of what I'm doing for tarot. So here's my tarot page. My ability to read tarot is a gift. It's an expression of divine love. And I'm here to share it with you in that same spirit. So let me shuffle the cards here. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to ask. And we'll shuffle the deck. If you have somebody out there, I know I have one viewer, if you would like a free reading, sure, I'd be happy to do a free reading. Or if anybody out there would like a free reading, I'm out here every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I was going to try to do a couple of programs a week, but I just don't seem to have the interest, I'll get a few readings up on Twitch, not viewing it live, but viewing it later, and I get a few up on YouTube, but I don't seem to have enough interest to be doing it twice a week. If I start getting the interest, I'll be glad to do it twice a week. But for right now, we're just going to stick to once a week, and if somebody would like a reading from me on the side, you contact me at johnstarot.net, or you contact me on the YouTube page and drop me a line. Drop me an email. I'm at john@johnstarot.net, and I'll get the email. I'll take a look at it. We'll work something out. My goal, I'm also doing some videos on, I bought a new car, I bought a Prius Prime, 2024 Prius Prime. I'm doing Prius Prime videos. I'll do a Prius Prime video this week. And I'm getting more hits on the Prius Prime videos than I am from the UFO and the John's Tarot readings. But it's all just part of having a little fun. It's all just part of having a hobby. So how can we do this? What am I going to ask this week? Okay, I'm going to ask something about the story, the Bob Lazar story. Given, let's say Bob Lazar is correct, that Bob Lazar is telling the truth. Everything Bob Lazar said is true. How should, and there are extraterrestrials. We are in possession of extraterrestrial craft. The government has been lying to us for over 50 years. This story has really been going on since the 1940s, late 1940s, World War II era even. They used to see UFOs following the bomber formations. They call them Foo Fighters back then. So, given, let's say the Bob Lazar story is correct, how should that affect us in our life and the way we think? If the Bob Lazar story is correct, how should that affect us? And I'll go three cards, and I'll throw three runes on that. We'll see what we get. First card is the Five of Wands. Okay. Second card is the Queen of Cups. And the third card is the Two of Pentacles. Let me draw a couple of runes, throw a couple of runes on that. And like I said, if somebody would like a free reading, I'm cool with that. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to do free readings. And let me draw a couple of runes. Well, Odin, Freya, please help guide this reading. On the Five of Wands, give us a little illumination. And the rune is Ensus. And for the Queen of Cups, the rune is, I've been getting this rune a lot lately for some reason, Thoras, the Thorin. And the third rune for the Two of Pentacles is, and I just have a bag of runes here. If somebody would like me to make them some runes, I'd be happy to do that. If you would like me to make your own, of course, nothing's for free in this world. It'd take me time and energy and shipping, but I could work something out. And this one is Orthelia. So the first tarot card, That's how I do this. I'll read the cards, and then I'll use the rune as an illumination for the card. So the first card is the Five of Wands. So there's a lot of competition, a lot of stiff competition for our attention, for our beliefs, for how we look at the world. And that you sometimes, you know, you can believe this or not believe this, but you need to, this is a time where you need to put forth, it always has to do with putting forth a little bit more effort. So you're looking at this story, you're watching this story, put a little effort into this. I put a little effort into it. This looks at the Bob Lazar story. I read things pro and con, and the cards are asking you to put a little effort into this and take a look at it and make up your own mind, and that the answer will come for the rune Ansus. For you, the truth will come from an internal source. And that you'll believe it or you won't believe it. But you will get a message about whether this is true or not. I think this is probably a message that it is true. And that's what the rune Ansus is about. Now, attention, competition for our attention. And then we get this message from another source that something else is going on. How could this affect our lives? The Queen of Cups, the nurturing caregiver. So you're gonna take a look at this stuff. You're going to come to a new understanding. Not everybody is going to come to the understanding you're at. This information could be rather earth-shattering. And for you to come to a conclusion about it, let's say you favor that you believe it, that this, you have to be careful with it. Be careful with your new understanding, with your new belief, because not everybody is going to be so forthcoming. And that as a new understanding of this information comes into our society, you're going to be expected to be the nurturing caregiver, to help other people along, to absorb the shock and understanding that we have extraterrestrial visitors who've been with us for a long time. The rune Thuraz, so we're at the doorway, we're at the gate of this information being disseminated into the general population, and it asks us as we are at the doorway, and we look back at how far we have come and all the things that we have absorbed before we step forward through the doorway into a new understanding of the universe and our place within the universe. And I see how that fits very nice with the Queen of Cups. That you're going to be there. You're going to be at this new understanding of where our place in the universe, and you're going to be expected to act as the nurturing caregiver. And then, what can you expect in the future? Oh, the Two of Pentacles. A lot of things are going to be changing. A lot of things will be going on as this new understanding of our place in the universe starts to be revealed. Try not to take on too much, because there's going to be a lot of new information. Try to keep your balance. You see, he's got there two pentacles. He's balancing on one foot, and he has the infinity sign. Try to keep your balance as all this new information and new concepts are rushing to the awareness of the human family. And then the rune of Orthelia. This is part of our shared heritage. These visitors have been with us for a long time. As part of our shared heritage, we're going to look back at our history and see how this fits into the history of humankind, how their intervention or presence has affected humankind. And I believe it has affected humankind. So I am going to go ahead and wrap this up. If nobody would like a reading.
Professor Marvel never guesses. He knows.
Well, it was my pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the Bob Lazar story. I will work up another story for next week. I've got a couple I'm working on. Robots are becoming a real possibility as controlled by AI. And that's a story I got coming up. I got another story I'm working on the Kingman UFO recovery. I'm working on that one. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do for next week. I will take a look at it. We'll see which one interests me the most to do first. So until next week, be careful, be cool, be kind. Remember, have faith, find courage, and I'll see you all next week. Thanks a lot for watching, and I hope to see you all again next week.